Today I'm going to guide the meditation that I do the least, which probably means I need it the most. So purification, obviously. And there's a system to this. Usually teachers will explain the steps first and then go into the meditation. I will not be doing that. Instead, I'm going to kind of process how I work with it, and then we'll meditate for about 15 minutes. I want to talk about Sangha drama. A Sangha is like an AA meeting for people who want to quit their addiction to suffering. Traditionally, it's a holy space where Buddhists take refuge. So I came into one last year when I signed up for what I thought was a meditation teacher training, but it turns out that was just a front for enlightenment. And I was like, whoa, wait, you guys all literally took vows to love me no matter what because you're trying to become undercover angels? Perfect. Sign me up. And the reason I fell in love with these people in particular had nothing to do with how nice and friendly they are. I've heard a lot of stories from others about how they had never met such a group of happy people. And sure, maybe they are that, but that's not something that inspires me. I see happy people everywhere. It doesn't mean I want to live like them. What really turned me on is their authenticity. Their commitment to these teachings is what makes them exceptional to me. Meeting a group of people with integrity who actually walk the talk and support each other in those ways is so rare and sacred to me. So it's just like a new relationship where in the beginning you're like, oh my God, you're 6'4" and you know how to read? Let's die together. And then right around the 6-month mark, when they start to feel comfortable enough to point out your flaws, you're like, okay, well, instead of having this conversation, let's just break up. So half a year into knowing these people, normalcy was starting to creep in and conflict. And this is called a practice, right? So my first reaction was not, oh no, this is an echo of anger coming from me in the past. It was more like, okay, well, I'm just going to turn my phone off and pretend this never happened. Bye. Because walking away is like the easiest thing to do. And the details of the situation aren't important. I think we've all experienced a point of friction in a relationship where you're like, okay, I'm either going to leave or I'm going to double down on my commitment. So I had to take a step back and be like, what's coming up for me? How am I interacting with it? And how does that align with my core values and the type of reality that I want to experience? And I realize I have two super immature beliefs that maybe some of you can relate to that keep me stuck in this pattern of pushing and pulling in relationships. First, having an all or nothing mentality. It is terrifying how quick I am to be like, ew, there's a stain on this and I don't want it anymore. Even if the other person is like, are you sure? I think I can help you get that out. I'm just like, no, it's never happening. So don't even try. Just burn it. Doesn't matter how much I loved it 30 seconds ago. When I look at it now, all I can see is the stain. And to me, that's just cutting myself off from the source of love, because sharing it is what keeps me connected to it. So limited ways of thinking like that, black and white ways of thinking, create so much unnecessary emotional suffering in our lives. When in reality, conflict is an invitation to go deeper into the intimacy of our own minds and relationships with others. I know what it's like to put a label on something and throw it away, but what's on the other side of not doing that? Can I transform this? And according to Buddhism, yes, because everything is empty of a nature, that means it can be anything else. It doesn't have to be a stain. It can be this beautiful work of art used in service to others. And what better people to practice this stuff with than the people I learned these things from in the first place, right? It seems safe. The second belief that keeps me stuck, and this is the hill that my ego wants to die on, is the idea that I'm perfect. And if you can't see that, that's not really my problem. Whatever it is that you're upset about has absolutely nothing to do with me. This belongs to you, not me. I'm fine. You're the one with the issues here. I'm right. You're wrong. And Buddhism is like, well, sorry, Sydney, there is no objective I. Self-cherishing is the thing that kills you and everyone you know. Right and wrong don't exist. It's cause and effect. So if it's showing up in my world, it does belong to me. And that's great news because that means I can do something about it. So how can I respond in a way that will destroy this forever? Love and wisdom. Because the moment I respond with anger, I'm not sure if it's going to change what's currently happening, but I know that it's creating an impression in my own mind that will force me to experience more anger in the future. And I don't want any more anger. I don't want any more misunderstandings. I want to live in a paradise where all of my relationships are unique and special and magical and last forever, but are also always mysterious and sexy and never boring. That's what I'm going for here. So I use this meditation to purify incorrect view and live in alignment with the way that reality truly functions, according to the system. So we practice in this meditation so that the next time you're in conflict, you can ask yourself, do I want to put energy into interacting with the reflection, or can I just change the projection? It's a wild way of living, but I think there's something to it. So let's meditate. Let's begin by breathing in a way that moves our bodies. So this might mean you sway as you breathe, or you roll your shoulders up and back. Really allow things to stir up in the body before you let them settle, like mixing a glass of herbs. Allow any sensations, thoughts from your day, to-do list items, swirl around, and then allow your body to guide you into stillness. Using the breath as an invitation to step into this moment. Notice your points of contact with the ground. Allow the support to open you up to a sense of being deeply connected, being held. Not just by whatever you're sitting on, but held ultimately by the earth itself. The earth is holding you, supporting your practice. Drop your attention to the base of the spine. And play with this. As much as gravity is pulling you down, can you create a sense of space and elongation in the spine by allowing an equally powerful energy to draw you up? Bring the mind in a little by focusing on the sensation of breath. How does it interact with the body? Notice the rhythm of the inhale and the exhale. If you catch your mind wandering, be happy you caught it. Ask yourself, what is it that you're seeking here today in meditation? What kind of reality do you want to create with your thoughts, words, and actions? Your mind is more than the quality you're currently experiencing. It can transform into something that can't ever be defined. So, how much can you open your heart and mind in all directions to all the possibilities? Allow the breath to guide you deeper into this state of expansion. Now think of all the beings on this planet who are also suffering. Include them in your motivation. We want to develop a strong wish to purify our negative karma as quickly as possible so that we can step into our true nature, a state where we can only benefit others effortlessly. Because they're just like us and they don't want suffering either. Now bring to mind your self-cherishing habit. The thoughts that keep you stuck in this pattern of constantly thinking about yourself. Like produces like. So get curious about how these habits hurt you and hurt others. This is not a time to feel bad about yourself. Guilt is useless and helps no one. It's cause and effect. We're doing this to destroy future suffering. So think, whatever harm I've created as a result of the self-cherishing I've done today, yesterday, throughout this life, absolutely, from the bottom of my heart, I own and recognize these things and regret having done them, thought them, said them, or celebrated them. Because I don't want future suffering. And now, imagine all of the imprints of all of the harm we've ever done to any living being since beginningless time, completely purified, disappeared forever. How would it feel to rest in your true nature, boundless love, infinite wisdom? Take a deep breath in and feel an exaggerated sense of relief on the exhale. One more. Now make a promise to yourself with the intention to end this affliction. Whatever you feel you can truly accomplish, even if it's only for 10 minutes. Something like, I will not be angry for 10 minutes. I will not lie for 1 day. I will not steal for 3 months. Whatever you feel you can do to your honest capacity. This is a vow to ourselves, not to the Buddha or your teacher or anyone outside of you. It's our own self that we're accountable to. It's our own mind that we have to live with. Now, rejoice and dedicate all the virtue you've created in this meditation for the sake of all beings, and see them experience the results of this. This is why we meditate. You can begin to deepen the breath and come out when you're ready. Thank you so much for practicing with me today.